This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Clearly one of the great stories of the football NFL season that we just had, EJ Stewart in for Perloff, by the way. Good morning. It's the Maggie and Perloff show. Easily the Washington Commanders, one of the best stories. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl, and that's great. But the Commanders go into the NFC Championship game in Jaden Daniels' first year as a quarterback, Dan Quinn first year as their head coach. I mean, the run they put together to beat the Detroit Lions as the one seed in Detroit and then have the year they had, obviously one of the best stories. And what it does is it gives hope to all the other fan bases who watch your team turn in a 4-win season or finish dead last in your division and think, wow, like the sky's the limit for me. Now, we have a long way to go here. We still have the combine, we still have the draft and free agency. However, you and I are going to predict who is going to be next year's Washington Commanders. That'd be a team who goes from last place in their division to all of a sudden making a possible deep playoff run. And to me, it's so obvious who the number one team is. And to be frank, it kind of scares me a little bit because it's a team that is in the division along with the team that I root for, which is the Buffalo Bills. The team that could be next year's Washington Commanders is without a doubt the New England Patriots. Count them out at your own risk. Drake May clearly can play. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is going to be the guy. Great pick. You finally have a true established, bona fide head coach in Mike Vrabel. And no disrespect to Gerard Mayo, but he was kind of, I don't want to say set up to fail, but they clearly didn't give him enough time to get his sea legs under him. And you can criticize the Kraft for that. But they bring in Mike Vrabel. You have Drake May. You have $128 million in cap space, according to overthecap.com. And we found out yesterday the salary cap's going to be rising again. Yep. Not only that, you have the number 4 pick in the draft this year. So if the quarterbacks fall, or however this happens, you could either trade out of that pick, you could just get Travis Hunter maybe with that pick, maybe in some crazy scenario, Abdul Carter's there. You have no idea. You could be adding serious talent in this draft, and I would not count out the New England Patriots trading with somebody to try to get an infusion of talent right away. Whether that, are they a possible Myles Garrett destination? Are they a DK Metcalf destination? A Cooper Kupp destination? All the things, and everyone has to be very careful, I think, about the New England Patriots. Sleeping giant, all the resources in the world, ownership group committed to winning, obviously. And Drake May is the son of which everything is revolving around. So I'm very bullish on New England Patriots. I think they are next year's Commanders.
The Patriots having that much money and a quarterback that you have reason to believe in makes them a great pick. I have questions about whether or not Mike Vrabel is the right guy to develop a young quarterback. And that brings me to my pick. And a team that I know you're not crazy about the head coach. You said you were fading him yesterday. But to me, we talk about who could be the next Commanders. I'm going to say this team could be next Commanders, but I'm actually going to go back and say they could be the 2022 Jaguars or 2023 Jaguars and the Chicago Bears. We saw Trevor Lawrence in his rookie year playing for a coach in Urban Meyer who didn't know his head from his behind.
Yep.
Like, just an absolute loser of an NFL head coach. Then when you got him an adult in the room, a guy who knew something about NFL offensive football, a guy who knew how to put together a roster, all of a sudden Trevor Lawrence looked like a future star and Jack White went to the playoffs. I think that's what you're going to see with Caleb Williams. That's what you're going to see with Ben Johnson as new head coach. Now, he doesn't have the pedigree of Peterson being a head coach, but he does have the pedigree of taking a young, broken quarterback who seemed like he was lost and figuring out how to best utilize his abilities and do the things that helps him the most in terms of running an offense. I think you're going to see a Chicago Bears team that also has a lot of money. Maybe not so much of the Patriots, but they have $65 million in cap space. They have almost no dead cap money. So they're going to be able to fill out a roster that already is talented. The defense has talent. The offense has talent. They just don't have an offensive line, really. And they had a quarterback who I think his confidence got rattled in the middle of the season when things did, started to really unravel. You get Ben Johnson in there. You get some new pieces on the offensive line. You get him the opportunity to really unlock someone like Roma Dunze and unlock DJ Moore. They'll figure out the running game. I think the Bears, you look at them, very tough division. But I think you see them take a massive step up this year, and they become the Commanders. Similarly as well, where the Commanders as a fan base, it was like they didn't exist.
Yeah,
it was like they
were resurrected, like, though.
Absolute dormant situation in Washington. That's kind of how Chicago feels. Like, Chicago wanted to have that energy and that excitement coming into this season, and they just got ripped away from them so quickly because we saw so early on that this didn't look like it was supposed to look for a team that was going to take a big leap. I think you're going to see a resurrection in Chicago. Fan base excited, people around the organization excited. I think you'll see the Bears get back to playoff contention and maybe even make a run.
So I think there's just way more potholes for the Bears, you know, and there's way more potential pitfalls that I see for the Bears that I don't think the Patriots are going to have to deal with. If we're talking about who could be next year's Washington Commanders, the kind of team that comes out of nowhere with a young quarterback and ends up making a deep run. You kind of glossed a little the division.
Division's tough.
Very, very tough.
I think maybe the toughest division.
Yeah, so good luck with all that.
Sure.
You know, I don't think anyone really even believed in the Vikings, and here they were, you know, a playoff team, Green Bay playoff team. And if the Detroit Lions don't come into the year with a major chip on their shoulder after they blew that playoff game, then Dan Campbell's not the guy we thought he is. And I think he is the guy we think he is. Yep. So major, major obstacle there. I think there's the other obstacle, and what I brought up yesterday about Ben Johnson is just the unknown of a guy who's never been in the big chair. You know, Dan Campbell, we think, was the guy who was making those fourth down calls, you know, making the late game calls. We see head coaches get flummoxed about when to call timeout. See Matt Eberflus.
Right.
And if, heaven forbid, Ben Johnson has one of those gaffes, talk about confidence starts leaking out of the team and out of your quarterback. Ben Johnson, you know, he's going to make mistakes. All coaches do. And I just worry about, is there going to be a, what do we do? Here we go again. Yeah. Is this really the guy? Because I don't think that he was the only person who could get the best out of Caleb Williams. I think there were a lot of people who could. Now, why I think the Patriots have a better shot of being next year's Commanders, I don't know about the Jets.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure about the Miami Dolphins because Tua can't stay healthy. Bills will probably be the Bills still. But when you talk about Mike Vrabel, you know, the guy has coached a team that was the number one seed in the AFC.
Yeah.
And I know the AFC was going through a little bit of a change of the guard with quarterbacks, Brady on the way out, Joe Flacco on the way out, Roethlisberger on the way out. So maybe they kind of got a little bit lucky with the timing as opposed to the quarterbacks that are in the conference now.
Right.
But I've actually watched Mike Vrabel do this. And I just think if they can build this thing the right way and give Drake May the right type of weapons. The defense is already good and has some cornerstone pieces, and now your head coach is a defensive guy. So I just see the pitfalls a little bit deeper and the potential obstacles a little higher for the Chicago Bears than I do for the Patriots.
Here's the thing about Mike Vrabel, and I've been one who I've been consistent. I think he's a little overrated, and here's why. I think when you have a generational running back like Derrick Henry, it makes coaching in the NFL extremely easy. Now, it doesn't make winning a Super Bowl easy necessarily if you don't have a quarterback, which they did not. But in terms of just coaching week to week, managing games, it takes a lot of decisions out of your hand. Fourth and one, you got a guy who's a generational guy, you can go for it. Playing as a team that's a high-powered offense, well, you're already built to run the clock out and play ball control. So you don't have an option in there. You don't have to push the ball down the field. There are so many things that come easy for you. And the biggest example I can give you is what we saw with the Eagles. The Eagles had a great offense, and they didn't have Saquon Barkley. And we saw what they looked like the year before when their offense got off the skis. This year with Saquon Barkley, even when Jalen Hurts was still struggling, the Eagles' offense was still functional because they had a guy who could hit a home run at any moment. That guy is not on the Patriots. They don't have a running back of that caliber. They don't have a guy who's an absolute game breaker the way Saquon or Derrick Henry is. So what we're going to see from Mike Vrabel is something we have not seen him do. Is he going to be able to build a high-powered offense centered around a quarterback who has all these physical gifts? He's never had to coach like that. I think that comes with a lot more challenges. It comes with putting the ball more in danger when it comes to turnovers. Yeah. Drake May did have 10 interceptions in limited time last season, so he will turn the ball over a little bit. It comes with different ebbs and flows of the game. It comes with bigger decisions on what you're doing on third and long. Are you just willing to punt, or are you going to actually put the ball in your quarterback's hands? You don't have a running back who can just say, all right, we'll just hand the ball off and play good defense. Like,
but what makes you think they couldn't add someone like that? Like, I think, you know, we saw the resurgence of the running back this year, you know, with obviously Saquon leading the charge. Derrick Henry was awesome again. Josh Jacobs was fantastic. Like, these guys were making these huge contributions. Najee Harris is going to be out there. There's going to be other guys.
Najee Harris.
And the draft.
Yeah.
You do have Ramondre Stevenson, but he fumbles the ball.
Yeah, and I like Ramondre Stevenson. He's been in my fantasy team like 3 years in a row, but he's not Saquon. And we had Judy Batista yesterday. You heard her. When I tried to say, is there another Saquon this year? She's like, there is no other Saquon. He's a unicorn. Like, I think that he's a special player. And
What if the Patriots trade back and get Janty? Like, again, if running back is the biggest thing I've got to fill, and it's one of the things they have to fill. But we're talking about Mike Vrabel teams and what we saw in Tennessee, then obviously they relied a lot on Henry. I feel good about my chances about getting a running back that can work. I'm not taking the New York Giants approach to this and the offseason hard knocks. I can get anybody and fill that role.
Sure.
It's a little harder than that when you're not, I think, set up like certain teams like the 49ers and stuff like that and the way they run the ball. But I think you can fix that spot. So I'm not worried about running back. And the other thing I'm not as worried about is wide receiver. And I know Bill Belichick had a real problem drafting wide receivers, but I don't know if that necessarily continues. The wideouts coming out of college are so freaking good. I mean, you could trade back and get a Buka. There's so many things you could do. Those are the two places I'm not worried about necessarily. And as far as, like, do they put the ball in Drake May's hands a lot more, I think you are going to see it.
Because what does that look like?
What does it look like? I mean, here's the thing.
Staff and Mike Vrabel.
Here's the thing. The Patriots last year, I try not to kill rookie quarterbacks because of turnovers. Because I think so often you're playing from behind.
Yeah.
And the Patriots were the definition of that. How many times was Drake May trying to bring him back from like a 10-point deficit or something? So you're gonna throw picks, and you know he did that. So the question is it, you know, how much does he learn from it? Excuse me, and can they get some better talent? Because the wide receivers he was throwing to were atrocious.
That's the thing; they have a ton of money, but it also requires you to pick the right guys. That was a big issue with a lot of teams that have had a lot of cap room in recent years. And they've signed guys who did not work out. So in order for this Patriots thing to happen and to work out the way you would hope if they're going to be next Commanders, is they get the right receivers. They get another running back with Ramondre Stevenson. They figure out some of these other defensive holes. I think they need a pass rusher. Defense was good, but they really don't pressure the passer at all.
Yep.
Like, they're going to have to get these guys, and they're going to have to be good for the Patriots. Like, with the Bears, they got good players on the roster. Tremont Edmonds is a good player. DJ Moore is a good player. Like, they have guys that are already stars. The problem was, I think the coach set them back so much. We watched on Thanksgiving, outplayed the Lions for 57 minutes of a football game, which is not abnormal for them. They play the Lions well. The problem was their coach was a knucklehead. He didn't know how to do any game management. And that's a question mark about Ben Johnson, and I certainly agree with that. But a big issue was their play calling was bad.
Yeah, it was.
Shane Waldron got there, and what'd you have? Jackson Smith and Jigma say, good luck to those guys. Yeah. I had him last year, and it wasn't that great. And we saw the fruits of that. I mean, he may not be Bill Walsh, but I'm taking Ben Johnson as a play caller with Caleb Williams 1 year removed with some experience over rookie Caleb Williams and Shane Waldron any day of the week.
who will be the next Commanders, the team that's going to go from a four-win team to maybe a deep playoff run. EJ says the Bears. I think it's the New England Patriots. So we saw yesterday kind of line item came across that the salary cap is going up big time for the NFL. Now it's going to be over 2 years. Basically, it will have gone up like $53 million in 2 years. State of the NFL is healthy, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Bottom line. But I was thinking about who does that help the most? And my first inclination was like, oh, it helps the Cowboys, right? Because they've got these high,
right,
you know, high-priced guys. And but no, I'm not going to give the Cowboys that much credit because until they show us that they're really going to go out and make a splash, they're not really going to do that. I was thinking it really helps the 49ers.
Definitely.
Because they actually do spend. I think they actually do like to make these big trades,
yep,
and splashy things. They have to pay their quarterback. I was like, man, this salary cap news is music to the ears of the 49ers. Maybe the Bengals, too, if they
yep,
actually have a commitment to spending, like they say they do.
Yep.
But the 49ers do have a commitment to spending. And I was like, oh, this is great, great news for the Bay.
Yeah, I think of those teams that, like the Bengals, the 49ers. You mentioned the Cowboys, but I agree. I think the Cowboys, one, I think their cap hell is a little worse than the Bengals and the 49ers. It's going to be a lot harder for them to figure this out. I think those teams that are in a situation where you feel like we maybe could get back to contention, but we're a player or two away. That was great news you got yesterday that you,
yeah,
could maybe get that extra guy because you got that extra money coming in. So that's going to be
definitely.
I think that's going to be a wrinkle to this offseason. That's going to be
fun. I think it puts the Bills as a better potential landing spot for Myles Garrett, maybe. But I don't know if the Browns are going to want to do that with the AFC. We'll have to see. 855-212-4227. We're also talking about the college football playoff and changes that are coming. Brad is in Oregon. Brad, do you like the direction of where college football is headed?
Well, thank you guys for taking my call. Great show as always. But you had one caller saying kind of make it a little fun, like the number one team gets to pick who they want to play. The way I look at it is if you take the 14 teams, you put them in a hat, you draw two teams out at a time, and the higher seed gets the home game. That way nobody can complain about the seeding. You might get an Oregon playing Ohio State in the first game in the first round, and you might get 13 playing 14 in the first round.
Wait, but Brad, you're calling from Oregon. Weren't you a little ticked off this past season that Oregon had the number one overall seed and got basically no benefit, no perks, no nothing when that's
correct,
not how it is for the rest of sports?
Correct. So if you put their teams in a hat and you turn around and they get the number 13 or they get the number 3 team out of the hat, they can't complain because everybody's got the same shot of who's going to play who. So there is no complaining on who was seated where.
It's like doing Secret Santa. Do it out of a hat. Brad, I love it. It's a fun idea. But can you imagine the conspiracy theories that would happen if we were picking this stuff out of a hat?
Yeah, we're back to frozen envelopes.
I was going
to
say, we've been talking about the frozen envelope since 1985. Okay?
Damn.
Think about it. Oh, the hat, they froze the thing. The corner was missing.
Yep.
The
corner was bent, yeah.
Someone, it was heavier paper for one of them. One was on, you know, contact paper. The other was on loosely.
Got the Knicks all those championships, too.
Oh,
well,
wait.
Listen, you anger the sports gods. You try to mess around with them. This is what you get.
I mean, I know you don't know much about what happened before 2000.
But that's right, yes.
Yeah. Not as good as we would think.
Nope. Helped the NBA grow, though. That's all that David Stern cared about.
Yep.
But can you imagine the conspiracy theories if you were picking out of a hat? Also, do you do one of the big hats like we have in our studio?
With the NFL logo on it, or the college football playoff logo on it.
I mean, what Brad was describing, and I got two soccer guys back there, so they can help me out with this, it basically sounds a lot like the Champions League. Like, isn't it kind of similar? Where you just, isn't it random mostly? Or kinda?
Well, in terms of like the draw?
Yeah, you're drawing.
Yeah, you just like, yeah, I mean, there are rumors that it's rigged, but.
Yeah, I'll believe
like
every
it.
One of them.
They completely changed the format for this year where they basically, it's like it's a one table. It's like one league instead of a group stage where now you have to, the top eight move on to the round of 16 automatically, and then we just had the playoff where it's 8 through 24 play against each other, and now the draw is tomorrow for the round of 16.
Amazing. Got to be freaking Einstein to follow this.
This is really complicated.
Yeah, that did not sound easy the way that you were explaining it.
No,
and you know this
way.
Stuff well, and you couldn't even really get that out.
The old way was a lot better.
What's that?
The old way was a lot better. But just like, you know, in sports here in America, you know, more games, more money. Let's make things more complicated.
The picking out of a hat, I had not even considered it.
I mean, we need to consider it because it's probably a bad idea.
Well, but I don't know. No bad ideas, EJ.
Feels like a fantasy. I feel like we always do that for fantasy, like draft order, or yeah. just pick out of the
Forget
hat.
Fantasy. It's like Secret Santa.
That's what I was saying. It's like, oh, Manny this year. Ha-ha.
You know what to get me.
Yeah, I do.
My fantasy league.
It's alcohol.
Because my fantasy league, I've been able
to. I was thinking Nick stuff, but okay.
Oftentimes, I've had like a top two or three pick or been the snake pick. My fantasy league, because I'm the commissioner, keeps thinking that it's rigged.
Yeah.
Even though it is. It is not rigged. No. I'm not rigging it. It is Yahoo Sports who does. They randomly do it every
year. I'm going to be honest.
Bunch of Yahoos over there.
I laughed. If I was going to pick anyone on our show who would be on the up and up, who would not cheat, would not rig anything in his favor, I think it would be EJ. I don't think you would cheat. And I'm not saying that Manny and Alex would all of a sudden be, you know, fiddling with everything in the background.
I would.
I'm just saying I trust EJ.
I definitely know who I would vote who would cheat the most.
Go ahead.
Perloff.
Yeah, the guy who sits in the chair.
Yeah, Perloff would without a doubt cheat the most. Perloff. I think Andrew Kaplan also would not cheat.
You hear that, Cap?
I don't agree with that.
You think Cap would cheat?
Yeah. Cap is like the petty king of this station, right? I mean, the way he would be trying to manipulate situations.
No, he would just make a meme that would just roast you to the end of time.
Create some AI song about it.
Right. The thing would be with Cap is he wouldn't necessarily manipulate it to necessarily help him.
Yeah.
He wouldn't manipulate it to make everyone else's lives a living hell. Like, what would be the funniest way? He's almost like, you know, like the guy who has the puppet strings. He's pulling everything. He's saying, what's the way I can make everyone else annoyed and frustrated and get the funniest outcomes? That's how he would manipulate it.
I feel like
EJ, you get Aaron Rodgers on your roster somehow.
Yeah, for maximum hilarity. I hate that Perloff's not here to defend himself. However, I think we all are in agreement that he would cheat the most.
Didn't he say he cheats at like tic-tac-toe or checkers? What he plays with his daughters.
With his daughters, he did mention that.
It was Connect Four, I think, right? Didn't he say one of those games?
How do you cheat these games?
I have no idea. The fact that he's even stooping to that level tells you how desperate Andrew Perloff is to not be in situations where he could lose.
We have to question his morality.
I think this is also when his kids were much younger.
I think he said this like last week.
teenagers now. You can't cheat and Connect Four when your kid's a freshman in high school.
Hey, check out the meme I just sent you, and that's when you put in an extra
check. Exactly. I was like, these kids are glued to their
distraction?
Phones.
Distraction?
Yeah, as soon as...
Like, oh, check out this TikTok, and then all of a sudden,
Ooh, I got a text from my friend, and Perloff's, you know, adding another red to the Connect Four.
Beating your kids like that, it's a real dilemma. You guys aren't parents yet. You'll get there.
The problem with this generation is Perloff is still living in the 70s where he's playing Connect Four or whatever. Most of the time when you're kids, it's now like you're playing like video games. And you have zero chance to beat your kids in video games.
No, I'd get, like, I don't, get the floor wiped with me.
I don't have kids, but I do have younger brothers. And the youngest is 10 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And if I
He'll smoke you.
He don't even want to play me in video games anymore. He's like, it's embarrassing. Like, this is beneath
That's
me.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it's like, this is a waste of my time. I can't even work on stuff.
I have not beaten him in 2K in like 13 years. Wow. Like something ridiculous.
Well, he's just got an advantage over you, his youth.
Blake Griffin was on the cover of the 2K when you last won.
Yeah, seriously. He was playing with Melo on the Nuggets.
Oh, my goodness.
That's crazy. 855-212-4227. Anyone into Brad's just pick out of a hat idea? How to determine the matchups for the college football playoff? I bet someone in the room brought it up.
Just pick out of a hat, just do it random?
Or maybe one of those big, like, how they pick the lottery balls, you know?
I'm pretty sure Greg Sankey
like
was in
bingo.
That room.
Yeah. Exactly. Yolanda Vega.
The person who suggested that, Greg Sankey, would say, oh, really? Good idea. Hey, security! Get this man over here out of here.
No, I think they just cut the brakes on your car. 855-212-4227. It's like, whatever happened to the commissioner of the SWAC? Well, I'm sorry to mention that. It's an unfortunate accident that no one could have seen coming. 855-212-4227. I was just thinking of something. Okay, lots more to do, including I've got a question for the young people here. And somebody is getting a little too confident in sports. And whenever that happens, it's our job and duty to bring them back to earth. We'll tell you who that is next. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ's in for Pearl. Welcome to the Maggie and Perloff Show. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com, not available in all states. Early returns on our poll question, who is more likely to cheat at board games on this show? Your options are Maggie, Perloff, EJ, and Manny. Perloff is leading this poll by 83%. It's going to be a landslide. and he's not here to defend himself because Perloff's on vacation right now and EJ's sitting in for him. I think I don't want to bother him while he's like in a tropical environment. You know, Perloff works really hard. He deserves to have this break. But I almost feel like he's got to know. Because I hope he's not checking social media.
Any chance he's still awake at this point? It's 6 o'clock Central Time, right?
I think it's Central Time in Costa Rica, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's probably getting up soon.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like earlier in the vacation, we might have got him because we might have been still adjusting to being on vacation. Now it's going to be tough.
6:28 right now in San Jose, Costa Rica.
Call him. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Pat Boyle is here with headlines. We'll get, I teased it before the break. Somebody is getting a little overconfident in sports. And when that happens, it's our duty to point it out. Pat, always humble, has headlines for us. What's up?
Me? Oh, no. All right, guys. NBA returned last night with Lakers Hornets in L.A. Makeup game from last month when the wildfires were wreaking havoc on the area. And LeBron James had 2 threes in the final seconds to tie the game. Missed both. Hornets pull off the stunning win, 197. They were 14-point dogs. Luka Doncic went just 5 of 18 from the field, finished with 14 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. But it was LeBron who kept taking the shots down the stretch, including that final possession. They had Luka, by the way, as the inbounder. He looked to be somewhat open on the wing, and LeBron took him anyway. Here was head coach J.J. Redick after the game on LeBron getting the final shot.
As a coach, you're excited that you have two guys that can be the passer and be the guy who gets the pass. But felt like, you know, LeBron, particularly in the fourth, just, you know, found a nice rhythm and felt really comfortable with that. And we got two good looks.
LeBron finished with 26 points, 11 boards, 7 dimes. Austin Reeves got ejected from this game in the third quarter for arguing a no call.
Got banged.
Yeah, he got banged. All right, Manny, the way you put the poll question up.
Oh, he did put that up about banged?
Yeah, but it's a little deceiving in the language. Manny wrote, "Do you know what got banged means?" It's in the context of which you get banged from a game.
Yes.
Yeah, this is not
Manny, like, you should also know the other meaning of when something, like, a game getting banged.
Yeah, game gets banged, gets postponed.
You called, you're canceled. A baseball broadcaster. You called baseball games in the same summer league that I played in. That's any time there's rain, we might get banged today.
Well, I'm familiar with the word, but EJ just cringed again at that comment.
I don't understand this.
You've never heard of a baseball game getting banged because of the rain? You've heard of that.
No, I've heard it got postponed, or, you know, they called it off.
Maggie's doing this show with a bunch of dogs right now, and she's more of a dude than half of you guys.
I've never heard of that either.
Really? I feel like I've definitely heard it in all these contexts, but the way the poll is worded, Manny, this is, do you know what got banged means? You got to do it in the context of the game. And I don't know if we can edit this one, so now it's just got to be there.
Well, that's Elon Musk's fault that we can't.
I know.
Edit it because we pay for it
and can't
subscription.
So
and somehow,
many issues with Elon. Like, your customer service sucks, dude. I don't know what you're doing to the government and our country. Whatever, that will be remain to be seen. But Twitter has fallen off a cliff.
We have 5% of the features we're supposed to have. We're having
getting charged monthly.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
So,
all right, that's
got banged.
Watch, they're about to turn the lights off on us. Doge is going to come in and be like, you guys don't really need oxygen, do you? You don't need lights. You don't need heat.
Lost in the Lakers drama was a great performance from LaMelo Ball, who had 27, 5, and 6, including a floater that put the Hornets up 4 in the final 15 seconds. Here was Hornets coach Charles Lee on LaMelo's game.
Just did a great job of playing at a pace that I think that we wanted at the end of the game, understanding who we wanted to attack, getting our spacing in a better place. And then the part that just shows his leadership and I think his growth is trusting the pass.
Speaking of LaMelo Ball,
yeah.
Did you guys see this yesterday? I was scrolling Twitter, and I saw a picture of LaVar Ball, father of LaMelo and Lonzo and
Jello.
LiAngelo, who's trying to be a musician now, and he had a cast over his foot. That was the first thing I noticed. Then I read the caption. LaVar Ball had his foot amputated after suffering a serious medical issue per TMZ. He's in good spirits. And I see the logo of the Twitter account in my peripherals, and I say to myself, oh, that's NBA Centel. The spoof parody Twitter account of the NBA Central that makes up fake stories or headlines and fools a lot of people. I thought I got Centel. No, it's real.
Yeah.
LaVar Ball had his foot amputated.
I mean, sad, right?
Yeah.
Dealing with a medical issue, get your foot amputated.
And I've tried to get into the...
They're not saying what it is.
Serious medical issue. That appears to be all that it is.
But you're right. then it was like, and he's in good spirits.
He's
like,
smiling in the picture.
Good for him. I mean, that's got to be a very traumatic thing to have to happen to you and scary and all that. And the fact that he's in good spirits, you know, I look at the Ball family. And like LeVar said some things that I don't necessarily agree with, but for the most part, I think they're a triumph. Like, I know that LaMelo, wait, who's the first one?
Alonzo.
Sorry, it's like the Kardashians.
Remember, he said Lonzo's going number one. He's the best.
Yeah. He went number two, went to the Lakers. It's not Lonzo's fault that he has all these injury issues, but he got paid, so he's going to be set up hopefully for life. LaMelo's hitting game winners against the Lakers last night. He's doing okay. And LiAngelo took a minute to find his thing, but maybe rapping is more of his cup of tea.
Whoa.
I saw him, you know, performing before Detroit played the Commanders in the NFC playoffs.
He performed to the All-Star game too, right?
Yeah, he did.
Honestly, like, I kind of think they did okay.
To me, when I look at the Ball family, they feel star-crossed. Because I think when we saw these young men and this father, this outlandish guy coming up, when we're talking about Lonzo Ball maybe being the next Jason Kidd or even Magic Johnson, and there were two other brothers that were going to go to, you know, UCLA, and the other one, you know, didn't even go to college. But, like, there was an opportunity. And in some ways, they were supposed to be the real Bronny James situation. It was supposed to be, like, all this family affair in the NBA that's going to kind of take over the league. And what we've seen is a lot of unfortunate situations around a lot of them. Like, Lonzo Ball had this degenerative knee situation.
Yeah.
He is playing now, but he is not the same player he was, and he's still working his way through. It cost him 2 years of his NBA career.
But, you know, to me, that stuff happens, though, right? Like, these are medical things that you can't help. To me, though, that's not like, you know, a real tragedy is if you have the talent, you have the health, and you just waste it. I don't think any of them wasted their talent.
You don't think it's tragic to be a top two pick and then your career is maybe cut short because of a knee injury? That seems to be one of the most tragic stories you could have.
I guess maybe we're just parsing the words here. I don't see that as tragic. I see that as just something that's just an unfortunate thing that happens in
chalk
sports.
Chalk it up to the game.
Todd Marinovich is tragic to me. You know, I don't know if you guys know that story about Todd. And Todd had a helicopter sports dad who only wanted him to be this amazing football player. And he, you know, the pressure got so big that he ends up descending into a life of drug addiction and alcoholism and all of that. Like, that to me is super tragic. The Ball kids seem like they're doing all okay. And the fact that LeVar, the dad, just got his foot amputated but is in good spirits, I think kind of tells you, I know the mom also had some health issues too, kind of tells you that maybe they have this sort of resiliency that is almost unique to them. I think it's a triumphant story. Triumphant story.
Definitely triumphant. I just feel like there was a track that I think we thought the Ball family was going to go on, right? I mean, there were some who were so supportive of the Big Baller brand that they thought that maybe this is the answer to the big corporation of the Nikes and the Adidas.
Yeah, like,
maybe
they really couldn't deliver on that now, could they?
No, but there was a lot of people who I think wanted them to. Like, they had a lot of support, and there was hope that maybe that we could get, you know, athlete first or family first small businesses that could kind of
rival
break into the sneaker game, because there's a lot of exploitation that comes with Nike and Adidas and all these places. And, you know, that flopped. And it just feels like, you know, I'll never forget when Lonzo got drafted by the Lakers in that first press conference, and Magic Johnson looks up at the rafters and says, yeah, see those assist records and those records up there? You're going to be replacing my name up there.
Well, Magic says a lot of things.
He was the president of the team. It wasn't even like he was...
Not for long.
I know, I'm not going to be here.
Magic, that's still an all-time moment. It's like, I'd much rather be Magic Johnson than be the president of this team.
But think of him saying that, and like, yes, there were some people who said that seems a little lofty, but there were others who really thought, hey, this guy is going to change the NBA. And look at where it is now with everything. And people thought LeVar Ball was going to be a major factor in maybe the shoe game, or maybe just our talks about basketball and sports in general. He's going to be a big figure. None of that happened. So that's where I look at it and say, maybe not tragic. That's why I use the word star-crossed. They did achieve great things. And I think it's really awesome that Jello's become this overnight sensation as a rapper. But it just seems like this is not necessarily the track we thought they were going to be on.
Well, Pat, what else?
Yeah, 9 games tonight in the association. Spurs and Suns, one of them in San Antonio. Don't expect to see Victor Wembanyama. He's doubtful with an illness. We'll get to some college hoops next hour, but I definitely want to bring up the Four Nations face-off title game tonight in Boston. Team USA versus Canada. Rematch from Saturday night's round robin game where the Stars and Stripes won 3-1. So, you guys remember, three fights in the first 10 seconds when they faced each other. The first fight was Brandon Hagel and Matthew Tkachuk right when the puck dropped. Then we found out basically some of the guys on Team USA were, you know, texting each other in a group chat about wanting to get into these fights. So Brandon Hagel called out the U.S. players for doing this, and Matthew Tkachuk was asked about it.
Maybe their team doesn't like each other then if they don't have group chats, but you know, I think that that's just a player, you know, enjoying this opportunity.
Yep.
Sick burn. You don't even have a group chat.
Yeah, you guys don't even have a group chat.
I mean, it is a little odd.
Well, two of them are brothers.
That's true.
Is and it then JT Miller, I guess, is in that group chat. Because he was, well, that got in the third fight. Maybe yeah. There's a handful of other guys. I don't know. If I'm playing for Team USA, I would hope there's a group chat.
I mean, how quickly are we getting another fight tonight? Well, for a second.
I don't think so.
No?
I mean, there's stakes on this game.
Right.
So yeah, exactly. I don't know. Championship game. I mean, it's still an exhibition game at the end of it. Maybe we got
to fight. Got to be at least one fight.
If this was a betting market, I would say yes, there is a fight. I don't think it's going to be right when the puck drops again.
Yeah, it'll be like in the flow of the game. Maybe in the third period, there's a scrum in front of the net with like 12 minutes left in the game, and maybe we'll get somebody dropping the gloves on the third line. But no, nobody from the we're not going to see a Tkachuk brother fighting again tonight.
It has to be gloves drop though. It can't just be those scrums that prolonged.
I think gloves drop minus money. But I don't think third period, because if it's a close game, then
it would have to be first or second.
I think it happens in the first 5 minutes.
That's kind of why if I was either of these teams, I'd be like, if I was a coach, I'd say, hey, like, knock it off. Like this,
I don't know.
We want to win this. We want to win. We want to win this game. All right.
No. You got to win the game, but there's a long way to go in the game if this is early on, and I think you got to set the tone. I think especially Americans. I can't speak for Canadians, but I'd love to hear from them because we're on in Toronto and Vancouver and all over Canada. But I think there's something where you feel like, because the U.S. feels like such underdogs, you've got to set the tone immediately.
But this is a close game. The way the momentum can shift off of the result of a fight, I don't want to leave that to chance. Like,
that's why you do it early. Then you have plenty of time.
To your point, that is why you would do it early. But then you could set a terrible tone with a bad fight. If the guy gets, you know, just KO'd, like, I don't know. I would say.
Most of these fights nowadays is pretty even unless somebody lands a haymaker. But it's mostly kind of a couple of half-connected punches, and then somebody usually just brings somebody else down.
Yeah.
By the way, betting odds, it is a coin flip tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, scheduled for 8 Eastern. Probably won't start until about 25 minutes after that. But the other thing is, and I'm sure all the main cable channels will be talking about this one, do the U.S. fans boo the Canadian national anthem after they booed our anthem?
Probably.
It's in Boston.
Yeah.
I mean, Boston is a booing kind of town.
Oh, yeah, it is.
If this was happening in, like, I don't know, what's a nicer city than Boston?
Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Listen, I would say that to someone who's born and raised in Boston if they were in this room. Like, they take pride in that. It's like New Yorkers or people from Philly.
If this game was in Detroit.
I don't know. Detroit's hockey town.
But it also is close to Canada.
That's true. I was thinking if this game's like in
Charlotte.
Chicago.
Barrie, Ontario.
They're not putting a like USA Arizona. Canada game in Charlotte.
Or Phoenix.
LA.
Vegas.
It's in LA.
Who's going to come to that?
I don't know. Listen.
L.A. or they're not booing the Canadian anthem in L.A.
I don't think so. I think L.A. would not be booed.
All the Southies in Dorchester are going to boo?
Yeah, the funny thing is I don't think we really have a lot of beef with Canada, though.
I have no issue with – this is one of those things, and maybe this makes me an un-American. I just don't care that they booed the national anthem. I don't. To me
– there's a geopolitical thing going on where I can understand that they might not be – you know, that enthused with America right now.
Is that
not
right?
To get into politics, but why would we boo them?
Just for return retribution.
Yeah, okay.
Because there's an idea that it's tacky. Like, whether there's geopolitical issues or not.
Yeah, it's a little classless to boo someone.
We're doing a national anthem to kind of honor the country, whether we agree or disagree on certain things. So I think that's why people could be upset and return the favor. I just don't care.
I just also wonder about, and this is getting a little into the weeds here, and again, not getting that political, but like, you know, the stuff that's going on between the U.S. and Canada is a little bit more on the right, and Boston is very liberal.
What is that too?
You know, I don't know how that plays into it. This is gonna be a tricky one.
Yeah, hockey crowd may be a little different though.
And does the broadcast maybe turn the crowd mic down for the anthem, or do they want that?
Nah, I mean, if you're a TV executive, there's like 5% of you that's just pure evil. So you got to want to, you need the controversy. Yeah. Again, I say that with a lot of admiration.
But I'm surprised.
You need tears. You got to want the tears if you're a TV executive. At least 5% of you.
I'm kind of surprised there isn't more booing of national anthems than like international competition. Like, do people really just are that? There's not a lot of respect in our society of those who have not learned or figured that out. I'm just surprised that this is like.
I don't know. Maybe it happens a lot in European leagues and we just don't see it.
I mean, like during the Olympics, I can't think of any time.
Booing the Olympics, I mean, you got to be a real.
Got to have some stones for that.
You got to be a real loser to do that.
I mean, the U.S. played France in a gold medal game, and I don't remember any talk of France booing.
Booing. I don't think so.
The U.S. national anthem during the gold medal game.
I'm going to go to the L.A. Olympics 2028, and if somebody other than from the U.S. wins pole vaulting, I'm booing them in the medal ceremony.
It's like, who's that guy booing Estonia? It's like, oh my God, that's Pat Boyle. I know that guy from work. Honey, it's Pat. He's booing Kazakhstan. I have no idea why. Pat, get a hobby. Get a hobby. Okay, coming up, somebody is getting a little too overconfident. We're going to bring him down a peg. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell. Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ's in from Perloff. Talking about the Four Nations face-off final tonight. So USA-Canada from Boston. tempers flaring in the last round. So what are we expecting tonight? Frank's in Georgia, but he's a Boston native. Frank, do you think the American crowd is going to boo the Canadian anthem the way the Canadians booed the American anthem in the last round?
I think the Canadians made a big mistake and didn't really kind of look at they didn't think things through about booing the national anthem, because they're playing probably going to be in the most hostile environment they could ever play in. The Boston fans already hate the Canadians. This is making it 100 times worse for them.
Wait, why do the Boston fans hate the Canadians?
Well, I mean, we always had that rivalry with the Montreal
right.
Canadiens.
The Canadiens, like the team. Okay. Yeah. I thought you meant the people in Canada. I was like, why do Boston fans have more of a beef with the Canadians?
No, but it's going to be a lot of negative energy today. And I hope the USA team wins. I want them to win. I think they should come out banging. I think they should come out and put bodies against the boards and drop some gloves early on and set the tone. And maybe that will keep things going in that direction. But
yeah, Frank, you and I are lockstep on that one. I do think you are going to see, and thank you for the call and weighing in on that. I think you are going to see a fight. I think it's going to happen pretty early on. Because to your guys' point in the last segment, it is a final, so you got to be a little careful about when you're getting penalties and being a man down and stuff like that. So I think it will happen early. There's also a pretty big and impactful injury that we need to keep an eye on with Charlie McAvoy.
Yep.
Missed Monday's game, not going to be back tonight, and he was one of the guys who was really crucial in trying to check Connor McDavid. Yeah, Manny?
This tournament, I mean, essentially is an exhibition. I mean, the Bruins still have their season going on. Now they're going to miss out on Charlie McAvoy for who knows how long. I mean, that's also got to be a conversation, right? These guys getting hurt during All-Star weekend, essentially.
Yeah, but you know what? I think you're right. Still have a while till we get to the Stanley Cup Finals and playoffs.
Sure.
But I don't know. This thing has really taken on a life of its own. I know it is an exhibition, but gosh, sure. It feels like there's so much more on the line than that.
And I think the culture of hockey will help them here. Because I think that the culture of hockey is you do play through injuries, and injuries are part of the game, and it just is what it is, and you don't complain about it. I think in other sports, where is low management is the deal and things like that, I think maybe you'd have more uproar. I think in hockey, it's like, playing for your country is extremely important, and it's prideful. It's not Olympic basketball, even though I love Olympic basketball. This is even more intense. So I think the parameters around hockey will make it not as big a deal. And I will say about the Boston crowd, be careful what you wish for in terms of like saying we're going to make this super hostile environment, because Connor McDavid's on the other side.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like I wonder if we're going to see LeBron James game six with a hostile Boston crowd and thinking they're going to go win a championship and he puts on the best performances ever. Sometimes, speaking as a Knick fan, and we've been the kind of fans
don't poke the bear.
You poked the bear, poked Reggie, poked Mike, poked, unfortunately, Trae Young, and seen what happens. Like, I might not want to wake up a sleeping giant, which is, Canada's not even sleeping. They're just a giant.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to beat this team twice anyway.
Yes.
Right? To beat them two times in a row in the span of a week, I mean, it's just, you're asking a lot, and then you add in the injuries here, to Charlie McAvoy, and then also, who are they bringing up? It was Sullivan, right? They were trying to get his backup. Quinn Hughes was coming in to try to replace him, but he's been flying back and forth now, and he might not be able
he
to.
He won't.
He's not playing.
He did not travel to Boston.
Yeah, okay. Not medically cleared.
I mean, this is a major disadvantage when you're talking about guys who would have been, primarily responsible for Connor McDavid.
At the end of the day, we talked about it all week. All of this conversation we're having is a major, major win for the NHL.
Oh, totally.
I mean, this would have been All-Star Week where we would have been talking about nothing. Would have been no conversations about hockey, and they just completely flipped the script. And what was supposed to be, for a lot of folks, you think of the Super Bowl ending, and it's a shift to maybe some more basketball. Here we are talking about a massive game where we're wondering if a country's national anthem is going to get booed and if the guys are going to get in fights.
I'll tell you the one thing that cannot happen tonight. U.S. can't get blown out.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little worried.
A little worried, too. U.S. cannot get blown out in this game if they, I think, want to show, hey, we belong in this international stage and to have all this gravitas. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show. Come on back.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.